Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast, Two Johnnies Podcast, Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny P.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. Welcome to podcast 135, coming to you like a turf fire warming your arse on a cold winter's evening. On this week's podcast, Scintillate, The Foundry, Pulse, Club 92. Just some of the venues we'll be talking about as we discuss how Irish nightclubs have evolved since the time where DJs would finish the night with the national anthem.
And he's got no problem absolutely roaring abuse at a team when they're losing. Yes, the under-10s have to toughen up sometime. Noel Furlong will be here with the news.
If you're a county councillor and can help her out with planning permission, she's got a brown envelope for you. Maureen is here with her mystery topic.
And as traditional as our manager Joe being an absolute gangster, we run off the podcast with our
Yurts and Dirts. Before commencing with proceedings, though, matters arising from last week's podcast.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, could I also apologise for being a little hoarse? We did an Instagram live last night and I was shouting. Sorry. So,
correspondence. Yeah, it's got nothing got to do with...
Yes, that's what it is from on Facebook live too. Some stories, lads.
Come on.
Okay. 10 years ago, I got this injury. I was away with my girlfriend and we were having the shakes in the shower. Unaware to me, my lad popped out. And me being a young buck, full of testosterone at the time, went for another pump and wrecked myself for the rest of the holiday. I snapped one side of my banjo string. And the other one is hanging on its last thread. Oh my God.
Apologies.
What exactly is the banjo string? Sorry.
It's...
Amora.
So it basically...
Amora.
Come on. I thought you'd know your way around a fucking Mickey now, Mara.
Come on.
Is it the foreskin?
It holds the foreskin to the... What?
The shaft.
The shaft, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Very sore when broken or pulled or torn.
What's a fucking banjo string there, huh?
Allegedly.
Huh? Hey, Mara, I'd say you're Beethoven on a banjo string. No, okay, come on. fucking deliverance. Okay, so sex since then was always getting more uncomfortable because it was always tearing and stretching and sometimes bleeding. So there was a lot of foreplay to get her off before I'd start. Sorry, Neil has just spilled his can of the drink in there.
Scalded himself.
There's nothing worse than sticking it in a dried up hole. You might as well stick it in a keyhole. And even after that, there is a lot of stop and starting to make sure I'm good to go so it doesn't rip. I would be telling her when she's on top in a firm voice, don't effing move. But once I find the spot, we're at the races. I'm sorry about this, lads. I finally went to the doctors 5 years later. What was he doing for 5 years?
I don't know. Putting lube. I'd say he must have went through around a grand's worth of lube, I'd say.
What was he doing for 5 years?
Leathering it up. And what's that stuff? What's that?
KY jelly?
No.
KY jelly, fair fucks
no.
you, Mara.
No, what's that? What's that, like, agricultural version? You said it once.
I don't know. I'd be ranting here.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, this was back in 2015. So he goes to the doctor. I showed him my lad and he said I would need a small procedure to cut it and stitch it back. He sent my letter off to the hospital and I got a phone call a few days later from the receptionist telling me my appointment in the hospital is the 15th of January 2020. I couldn't believe it. 5 years I was going to have to wait. I said that has to be wrong. So she said to me, come around. I went to the doctor's office explaining the date. He was looking at the computer and then he said, can I see it, please? I wasn't sure what he meant, but the only thing I had to show him was me lad. So I stood up and took it out right in front of him. He never even looked at me. He just said, not that, your letter. I thought to myself, shit. Just as I was putting the mouse back in its house, the new female receptionist walked in with his cup of tea. I had my back to the door, so I don't know what she thought, but to me it looked fairly weird. I walked home from the doctors, laughed about the situation I had gotten myself in. In those 5 years, I was getting new appointments.
Swarfiga.
Oh, yes.
Sorry. Sorry. Oh, that was wrecking my head. I'm sorry, man.
That's more for cleaning as well, is it?
Having a clue. It just popped back into my head there. I felt like I had to get it out.
Don't use Warfiga as a lubricant. It's for taking oil off your hands, like that's when you're really dirty.
You haven't seen my lad. Sorry.
Okay. Anyway, our listener here was getting all these letters for 5 years. And he said, my mother was always wondering, why was I getting letters from the hospital? I just told her they were from all my football injuries. I was seen by the doctor in 2018. They had a look at it and asked me if I wanted to cut the banjo string or go full Jew in medical terms. I said, cut the banjo. They said, we will send out an appointment for you. So here I am in August, still hearing nothing until they rang me at work asking, do you want to go ahead? I said, yeah. A few days later, I'm in hospital, lying in bed, getting my knob painted with this cold disinfectant shit, looking like I just robbed my girlfriend's Saint-Tropez bottle or tan.
Saint-Tropez. For all tan enthusiasts out there.
And squirted the whole bottle on my junk. The doctor gave me 10 mil of local anesthetic and waited a few minutes, but not long enough for my liking. He picked up my lifeless lad and said, you'll probably feel something sharp. And he did something to my banjo, and by God, the pain. My legs lifted up, and he said, whatever you do, do not lift your legs. I could have had a knife in my hand. Jeez. They gave me another 10 mil of anesthetic. So my lad was completely numb and they started the procedure. I closed my eyes, focused on my breathing. It wasn't too bad, but still not a nice feeling, being pulled and stretched probably. 10 or 15 minutes later, lad, I'm sweating. Mm-hmm. I'm sweating reading this. 10 or 15 minutes later, it was finished. My legs felt like I'd done a proper workout from all the tensing I was doing. When I got home, the first thing I did was show my 4-year-old son the bloody netted pants they gave me to wear. And I showed him the blood. Oh. The reason I did this is because he is notorious for hitting people in the nuts when they're least expecting it. I told him, Daddy's willy is sore, and not to hit him there. Which he didn't, in fairness to him. I went over to visit the mother and father 2 days later with the girlfriend and son. I didn't know what to tell them as to why I was out of work. So we decided to say I was asked to take my holidays because I had too many. The four of us were talking about something and my son randomly said to the mother, my dad is wearing a nappy and his willy is sore. My mother looked at me with shock and said, am I hearing your son right? You're wearing a nappy and you have a sore willy. My girlfriend explained I had a minor operation on my privates. My mother was in shock. She thought it was cancer. We explained, no, I'm perfectly fine. I'm not sick. My girlfriend did wonder why I told the child at all, because now he's going to tell everybody.
That's some ordeal. It does happen to lads. I know a few lads who've had to get circumcised later in life, and it's a tough ordeal then.
Is there a big recovery time?
There is, yeah, a good few weeks. You'd be walking like John Wayne for a while, yeah?
Yeah, but he put up with it for 5 years.
Yeah, I know.
You mentler.
Got to get that looked at. On a slightly different topic, thank God. Hi, lads and Maura. Love listening to the podcast. I start listening from the very start when I started walking the country roads around my home to try and lose a bit of timber.
Torfiga!
As the weight started coming off with the help of your podcast and Slimming World, I start speeding up the walks and broke into a jog. As the weeks passed, I had you for company in my ears all the way around my loop. I then saved your podcast so I could have a couple of hours in my long run. Fast forward to last October and I'm 13 stone lighter. I completed my first Dublin City Marathon. My wife and I are doing another one locally around Clyne, the home of hurling, from 51-year-old Kevin, a.k.a. Bouncy.
I was talking to Kevin. Unbelievable, lad.
That's some going. I like. I don't want to take all the credit for this, but the podcast just, yeah, you know. Podcast had a little bit to do with it, you know.
Johnny, you saved Bouncy's life.
Yeah, there you go, man. Our voices got Bouncy around the Dublin City Marathon. Fair play to you, Bouncy. That's some achievement.
Chris sent us in this one. In the late 2000s, I had a double room in college, a fateful laptop and internet in my room. So occasionally, a gang of us, lads and lassies, would end up in my room watching a movie. This particular night, the movie wasn't great, so a few fecked off. I was dozing off and two stayed to watch the rest of the film. One of the lads was keen on the girl, and what do you know? They were the two left. He was grafting, but she had a boyfriend, so I wasn't too particularly arsed, as I thought it's not going anywhere. But if it turned into Anthony, sure, they'd surely have left. The poor lad was being driven on by the power of the horn and kept trying and trying. And then he uttered this beautiful line. It's not cheating if you don't kiss. Well, that was the end of it for her. As soon as she heard that, she got up and left. And as soon as I heard the door close, without moving a muscle, I repeated the line back to him. And in his shock, in fairness, we had a good laugh about it. It's not cheating if you don't kiss.
It is. It is. I'm afraid to break it, you buddy. It is. On last week's topic of politics, Eric was in touch. He said, well, lads and Maura, listening to your latest pod about why people get involved in politics, there's loads of young political parties around Ireland, with the largest party being Young Fine Gael with a few thousand members. Lots of young people with political aspirations join these types of organisations and can be a good way to form connections and get a lay of the political landscape and see what's involved in being involved in politics. Plenty of people that are in the Dáil now started in these organisations, Leo Varadkar being one of those. Loving the pod and the show from Eric.
Who's 16 going? Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to join Young Fianna Fáil.
What I'm taking from that is Eric said connections. Are people just going in there and in a few years' time, when one of these lads eventually, you know, breaks through and is in the cabinet, you're ringing him going, listen, I got 3 penalty points and I need them gone. The insurance has gone through the roof.
Leo. It's me, Johnny. I know we haven't spoke since school, but you're not going to believe what I did with the car today. Hey, Maura, if you want planning permission...
Yeah, join a young political party.
You know. An anonymous listener said, as a source has told us that there are 3 guards on 8-hour shifts in a porta cabin outside Bertie Ahern's house. The porta cabin has a jacks and a kettle. And as far as they can report, there has never been an incident. Now, the Irish Sun in 2018 did a report that said 4 ex-Taoiseach, Taoiseach, get guard protection. John Bruton, Bertie Ahern, Brian Cowan and Enda Kenny. Although, I was talking to a guard who told me that Enda Kenny no longer bothers with it.
Yeah, he looks nimble enough, lad. He'd probably fuck you up himself. He doesn't need a guard. Enda be like, you know, boom, boom. Knock you out. I'd say he'd wrestle you to the ground and choke.
Old man strength is real.
Yeah.
Do you ever fight an old lad?
He's from Mayo too, lad. He's raw enough. He's going to wreck you. Luke Kelly emailed the pod. Wow.
Bye, Luke. Back from the dead.
It's terrible. We love Luke Kelly.
Bye, Luke. Bye. Luke Kelly emailed saying, stop pissing on me statue, lads. Go on, William, go on.
Okay, this particular Luke Kelly says, well, Johnny's, what's the crack? I am. I'm a law student at Maynooth University. From someone who has a fairly good knowledge of politics and the history of politics, I would say people would definitely enter politics because they have an egotistic, charismatic and charming thing about them and try to apply those traits to issues that they care about. I would like to say that I am not affiliated with any political party and I support the fact that everyone's beliefs and values are different. But I hate when people who know absolutely nothing about politics or government argue about political figures, ideas and policies, as it can be hard on those family members to read stuff about their dad, granddad, mother or grandmother. I believe Irish people kind of follow the crowd a bit and just give out because they see Mary down the road giving out about the local TD. People forget about the good stuff some politicians do. I've studied law and I've seen the good things that a certain politician has done as Minister for Justice before he became Taoiseach. He implemented legislation such as a Succession Act, which gave the right to widowed women to inherit their husband's properties and assets as a sense of financial security.
That sounds fair enough.
Yeah, it does. Fantastic thing for women. He also implemented the Criminal Justice Act, which eliminated capital punishment, but still people only talk about the bad things he has done and they don't talk about the vision of taking us to be one of the most progressive nations in Europe and the world. That is only an example of one politician, but definitely think that in Ireland, politicians get remembered for one or two bad things rather than the many good things they do. Fair enough, there is shady business going on in politics, but I don't believe that every fella and one in the Oireachtas are as bad as they are put out to be. P.S. My plan is to become a judge one day, and if there was a mug sent my way, I might let you off with the odd speeding charge.
Congratulations. You've just won a mug.
Deal. Fucking deal. That's all I want. I want a claim check.
Last week's mystery topic from Maura on long distance relationships. Alan with two L's was in touch. I know you're a fan of the cringe of the show. Thought I'd share my experience with you from this morning with my mother. So every Monday on my walk to the office, I listen to your latest episode. Thanks very much, Alan with two L's. You usually finish the episode over 2 days. So I would have had listened to it yesterday, but I had to bring the mother to the hospital for a checkup this morning. Had her in the car and thought, what'll I listen to? Well, I'd normally listen to my own Straight Talking podcast on Spotify to make sure it all uploads right. Hey lad, I know the feeling. That would be a bit self-indulgent with the mother in the car. So I thought, I'll finish the two Johnnies. All grand. We're listening to Noel and she's laughing away. Said she watched your show on RTE and thinks you're hilarious. So we're having a good old chuckle with Noel's latest adventures. And then Maura comes on. Oh, shit. I think what she's going to be on about. But it's grand. Just a little bit of Tinder and difficulty of a long distance relationship. Good woman, Maura, I think. Then it's dildo this and dildo that. I'm faced with a dilemma. Do I turn off, demonstrating the discomfort that both of us clearly feel? Then it's wanking this, cyber sex, dildo that, wanking this. We're both awkwardly listening and waiting for some reprieve. Feck it, I says. I'll write it out. I'll stick with it. Left it on. But I can safely say they were some of the most awkward minutes I have ever experienced. Maura, next time, maybe a warning saying, don't listen to this in the car with your mammy. Up riding, up wanking, up cyber sex. Keep it up, lads.
Oh, my God. It probably should come with a warning, Maura.
The whole thing is going to have to come with a warning now.
One of the boys from RGA Club was saying he was bringing his father somewhere. And, like, we know his dad. And, like, the young lad plays with, like, he's not young. He's a couple of years younger than me. But he plays with us. And he was saying that every Monday they throw on the podcast or whatever and they'd be laughing, like, because they know us as well.
Yeah.
And then he said it was the week, Maura, where you done a mystery topic on periods. And he said his father turned to him and said, don't ever put those bastards on again. Driving and by racers.
Can I just say before you move on to the next topic, mm-hmm. the politician that Luke was talking about there that did good stuff. But did some good stuff, but did a lot of bad stuff as well. It was Charlie Haughey, so.
Okay.
Mixed bag.
Mixed bag. Mixed reviews on Charlie, yeah. Driving and by racers. Graham said, lads, you were talking about driving tests and you mentioned Clifton as being the easiest testing destination with a high pass percentage. Well, legend has it that up until a couple of years ago, there was only really one fail out in that region. And that was because someone managed to crash into a parked tractor during the test. They obviously failed.
Charlie Haughey had his own island.
Is that all you're taking from that?
Luke left that bit out. Michelle emailed, well, lads, in relation to your topic of boy racers, I have to say that the culture is well and truly still alive. I'm in North Tipperary and there's definitely more than a few souped up cars around the town. They always end up by the train station at night doing donuts and just revving the shit out of their Lexus. Harmless stuff, really. I know a fella who travelled down to Skibbereen a few weeks ago to buy a Borat. Bear in mind, he lost his licence a while back, so he can't legally drive it. So he had to bring it home in a trailer. All of this to do it up and sell it for a bit of cash money. The market is there. As long as rallies still exist, young lads would be mad to have the loudest car in town. From Michelle. Thanks, Michelle.
It's alive and well. Anonymous said, well, lads and Maura, just back from a few weeks away in sunny Wexford, so I'm catching up. While away, I saw the upcoming pod, Boy Racers Get Girls, announced on Insta and thought, wow, this'll be good. Finally, on the drive this morning, I got to listen and did it bring back memories of 18 or 20 years ago. As you said, the insurance was a killer. £2,300 on a 1.3 litre. Every other penny I had was spent on mods, Evo body kit, GTR front fend, low stored on 19-inch wheels, silver-tinted windows, bucket seats, sports steering wheel, and a big fuck-off boombox in the boot.
Yeah.
A few of us so-called bi-racers, as you said, hung out in car parks and chatted and everything else involved. Wink, wink. I'm guessing from those winks they were lady killers.
Yeah, what were they doing? Go on.
Yeah. Dogging? Where there were lads with cars, there were surely young ones. Being only a short drive to the Curragh Plains, it wasn't hard to find a quiet spot for a bit of wool, as we called it.
Mm. It doesn't count if she's a sheep lad.
Asking a young one.
A bit of wool, son.
Asking a young one for wool was as easy as asking for a hot chicken fillet roll in a deli. We'd often park three or four cars together and get down to business. Thank God for tinted windows. The time came to shift on the car and I could afford to insure a 20 valve. No idea what that means. One of the lads had a long-term bird. She took a shine to my car and told him to buy it for himself. Okay, that's good. He must have been out to impress her because he paid way over the odds and I didn't lose my bollocks on all the mods. However, I think she had more than a shine to the car because a few weeks later, I was wooling her in the back of the 20 valve.
Oh!
So the moral of the story is, yes, the bi racer got the girl. Keep me anonymous as I've a wife now and a heap of kids and all that life is behind me.
How many lads are there tipping around Kildare in a 20 valve?
How many lads are wooling? That is a new one on me now. Wooling.
A friend of ours did say, like, when he first got a car, his Facebook Messenger was blowing up with young ones.
Yeah.
Looking to go for a spin.
Mm. And he only had a Bora.
Yeah. Right? Bora's okay. On pets in the bedroom, another texter says, many years ago, I was at a christening, drinking all day, having the crack in our local function room. Being single at the time and being a young hench bloke. More, what does hench mean?
Hench
mean
fit.
Really?
Mm.
Isn't it a fashion? No, Dench. Dench is a fashion brand. Sorry, I'm confused.
Yeah, Hench is like, I think, buff and fit and, you know, muscly.
All right, okay.
I can't believe a man just said that about himself.
He's out to get a bit of wool, this guy. So, yeah. Anyway, he was raring to go. The christening was coming to an end and they said he'd head down to the nightclub to get geared. Me and the boys all had a bet on who would pull first. And I was willing to win this one. As we walked in the front door, I locked eyes with a beautiful Russian girl who was an absolute beaut. Straight away, I went to buy a drink at the bar beside her and we began to chat. And within 30 minutes, I was leaving with her, looking back at the lads, winking. They were all gobsmacked. As I got to her house, we landed straight on the couch. Clothes were flying off us. It was gonna happen. This girl was well up for it until I felt something at my foot. I looked back only to see a massive bull mastiff dog drooling on my foot. This dog was the scariest thing I've ever seen. I was genuinely shitting myself and the willy went limp. What the fuck is that? I muttered, trying not to startle the beast. She, as calm as Anton, said, that is Massa, my father's dog. She then shouts in Russian at the dog to leave the room. So the man bear pig of a dog marched out of the room and back into the darkness of the hallway. I was starting to lose my mojo and we just played around for a while.
You know, game of Scrabble or something.
After a bit of messing, she fell asleep and I ran out the door. I was getting dressed back into my suit. I look at a photo on top of the fireplace. It was a picture of a team of Russian special forces operators in a group photo on a mountain somewhere in the world, only to figure out it was her father. Her father is a former Spetsnaz soldier. I instantly started to sweat and panic. The big effing dog came out of the hallway and started to growl at me. I started to come to terms with the severity of the situation. Then boom, I hear a rumble upstairs. Here he comes, I thought to myself. This is it. I am going to die. His lovely daughter on the couch beside me, butt ass naked and snoring her brains out. This looks bad. So I made a leap for it. I ran for the front door and bolted out the gates. I had no idea where I was going, but I was like Forrest Gump. After running almost 6 kilometers nonstop, I came across an armed guard checkpoint. Two ASU guards came over and me sweating in me suit like a politician in court. The two guards knew full well what I was at and they had a little smile on their faces. They both said, well, good night. I then said, yous have no effing idea. I'd say I made their night shift with their hysterical laughter. They told me to get home before I'd be seen by my loved ones in this state. So I stumbled home with severe shin splints and contemplated my decision of going out that night. That was 7 years ago and not a day goes by where I don't think about it. I haven't seen the Russian beauty since then, thank fuck. Not many people know this, even my missus. Don't know this one, and I'm keeping it that way as I'm scared I'm going to be assassinated by Spetsnaz operators. Up tip, upright, not the Russians.
Oh my God.
And he confirmed that he had blisters the size of €2 coins from running in suit shoes.
I ran home from town one time and got blisters and shin splints too. It's a dose.
In shoes?
Yeah, but I definitely covered double the distance than I would have walking because I was so drunk. I was running from one side of the road across. I went sideways more times than I went forward, I'd say. It was a tough run.
It's like bowling when you have the sides up.
There you go, man. 100%. Hashtag save our chicken rolls. The campaign that keeps on giving. Nathan was in touch. Lads and more, a little throwback here for Johnny B from his time spent in Dunshaughlin, County Meath. Super value in Dunshaughlin does a chicken fillet roll for $3.85. Good size roll, three toppings and sauce. Happy days. Was wondering if Johnny has any other memories of the shop itself. No.
Connor said, boys, I'm fair pissed off. I was getting a chicken roll down here in Cork. They charged me $4.50. And in fairness, I was all right with the price. But the lad before me ordered a roll with chicken, butter, lettuce, cheese, onions and sweet corn. And he was only charged €3.50. And then I was charged $4.50 for just butter and chicken. I said, nah, these lads need to be called out. So Herlihy's Centre on Oliver Plunkett Street, step your game up.
Outrageous. Oisín said, lads living in Oz and was put onto your podcast by a workmate. Been flat out since. It got me through a 9-hour drive from Byron to Sydney and through many a day at work. Here's a receipt for two chicken rolls for myself and a girlfriend. Mad money. Keep up the good work. Oisín from Meath, who's living in Sydney. The two chicken rolls cost $27.80. Outrageous. That is crazy. That's a criminal price. And a Lucas at $4.90. Shit. That is
do you get a
spicy
shot of vodka with that right now?
I tell you, you want a litre of vodka for that price. Who gets the Two Johnny's podcast mug this week though, which is sponsored by KC Sports, who sell all the Two Johnny's lovely merchandise. You can see kcsports.ie for more info.
Or the twojohnnies.ie. Maura,
I like your man who tried to bang Boris the Blade's daughter. I thought that was quite good.
I my heart goes out to the first lad.
Yeah, the banjo string man. Oh. That is like from one man to another, that is a dose. And okay. Embarrassing. Yeah.
I would rather fight the Russian special forces than have to go through that banjo ordeal.
It's two against one. Banjo string man, you can get in touch. Email podcast at thetwojohnnies.ie with all your contact details. Maura will get you sorted. We get the mug out to you as quick as possible. You've won the mug.
We do not need photographic evidence.
No, most certainly not. You've won the mug, but you've lost your banjo string. That is enough for us.
Fair trade.
The weekly roundup, right? What's been going on in Two Johnny's land?
Oh, you know us, just two old TV personalities.
Another episode 2 went out this week on Thursday night on RT, and obviously, you know, we have to sit down and watch these things. It was painful viewing.
First half was very tough. We had an improv musical with people who were class, and
at improv musical we not so much.
We had to take our tops off and pretend to be mermaids.
Yeah, all right, few lads. You're going to run like fucking Steven Seagal.
We were all a bit bloated now. It was a tough day.
Oh, it was a very tough watch for me. My arse was hanging out of fucking fins at one stage. Like, I was like, oh, God. I was looking back at it, just going, oh, no. I wanted to just crawl in behind the couch and cry last night when we were watching it. But it's getting a great response and ratings are really good. So thanks a million to everyone who tuned in. And anyone who didn't see it, you can still catch up on episode 2 now on the RT player. And episode 3 is coming up next week. That's next Thursday, obviously 9:30. And on next week's episode, I dress...
Oh, you're going to love it, lads.
In drag. Go.
You're stealing the show, Smacks. On the first episode, you fell and nearly split your arsehole. This week, you were a hilarious mermaid. You got your arse out again. Mm. Fella said to me he got a good shot of your boreen.
Yeah.
Down to crack your arse.
He did. And next week, he gets to see it all.
You getting the legs out again?
Get the legs out next week. Get the whole, like it.
Wait, you see the fourth episode? He slaps the flute out.
Yeah, I got to be honest, lad. You know, this is
you're selling your body, lad.
This whole TV series, it's not showing me in a good light. I've got other talents than like a fat arse. You know what I mean?
Your physical comedy is great. You know?
Yeah, I reckon my arse is probably, you know, it's right up there with the Kardashians now in terms of famous arses. But we'll keep going. Yeah, we try Vogan next week. And we also meet ex-car curler John Gardner, who's out in Miami. Loads of good stuff coming up next week. It just gets mad. Someone was like, it can't get any madder. And I was like, there's a particular scene with me and Johnny next week that I've watched around 40 times and I can't stop laughing at. It's beauty related. That's all I'm going to say. But okay, that is, to me, the best part in the four episodes.
Okay, and thank you so much to everybody who has signed up to the Extra Podcast. It's out on Thursdays, lots of extra crack and mayhem. And on this week's Extra Podcast, we do 30 Seconds of Truth, and Maura finally reveals why she choked a man out in a bar.
Okay, so I was having a chat with the lovely Jamie in San Francisco, right? And I was telling him about how I do MMA, and I was like, oh, do you want me to do an MMA move on you? He's like, yeah, I'll do a rear naked chokehold on you. So he thought, obviously, in his head that there's like a lady, gentle way of doing a rear naked chokehold. No. Chokehold is, I'm going to apply compression to the sides of your neck and stop the blood flow to your brain until you pass out. So I did it on Jamie, and the bar stool fell on the ground, and Jamie's like, I don't know if he screamed or not, but like, and then it was like, you two went, Maura, it's time to go home.
Yeah, from our memories of it, Jamie almost choked death. Okay, close your eyes. Imagine a sticky dance floor. Cascada is blasting out over the speakers. The taste of a shot of Sambuca is hitting the back of your throat. We are transporting you to a centerpiece of Irish socializing, the nightclub. And we are going to be discussing the good, the bad, and the ugly aspects of Irish nightclubs.
Johnny Smacks, a fan of nightclubs, more so in your youth, perhaps.
Yeah. Well, you get to a stage, man. You just don't want to go to nightclubs anymore.
Wrong.
What do you reckon?
We always go to nightclubs.
Don't, listen, Coppers isn't a nightclub.
Yes, it is.
It is and it isn't. Like
How isn't it a nightclub?
The definition of a nightclub is, it must have a raised up area where lads stand and, you know, stare at the opposite sex. While drinking like pints of cider.
And what, a lower dance floor?
Yeah, a lower dance floor. That is a nightclub to me. Coppers is certainly, you know, Dublin's favourite night spot, I would say. But to me, it's not a club. I'm talking like, when I started going out, we used to go to Club G. Fantastic name, right? It was Grant's Hotel in Roscrea was what it was. But when I first started going there, it was just a function room that bought a load of disco lights. So,
like a regular hotel function room.
Yeah, and then after around 4 years, they bought in a load of like staging and just built one side up.
Yeah.
And like the dance floor, it was still a function room.
Yeah.
But then they had a raised area. And I'd say the reason they got it was like, let's make it more of a nightclub vibe. And then it was like, yeah, but let's like, what if we ever get a wedding in here? You know, we don't want it to be a nightclub full time. Just we need to be able to remove that raised up area.
A retractable raised up area.
Yeah, it was just hard lads standing up there, like, you know, just bobbing their heads, acting pure, hard as nails, ready for a scrap. But nightclubs were great in my early years, but not now. You just lads banging into
it. Why do they always have mirrors?
Probably just when you're in a fight, you know, you can look in the mirrors and see who's going to come from behind. You know, you got to check your peripherals. Lad, nightclubs, like, as much as you might have got a shift in a nightclub, brought a bird home or whatever, like, you know, or a girl brought a lad home, there was a good chance you get a black eye too, like, in a nightclub.
I say most of the fights happened in nightclubs, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, nightclubs were so cramped as well. If a scrap did, like, you get a straight fist handy enough. At least that's what people kept telling me anyway. Like, I was like, I was just dancing to Fat Man Scoop, and next thing I know, I picked myself off the ground.
I was talking to a lad who used to be a bouncer for years, and he said, nowadays, it's like the maternity ward. It's all pushing. He said, you go back 10 years ago, lads were breaking each other up with slaps. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but the nightclub in Care here was attached onto the side of the hotel. Mm. One of those classic ones. Mm. Now, it was your proper, you go in, there was a cloakroom, the floor was sticky, there was a lowered area. There was a couple of seats that, you know, you wouldn't put your feet on. Oh my God, Christ.
And mostly,
the
listen,
jacks, lad.
Let's not beat around the bush here. If there's seats in a nightclub, like, to me, they're just for one thing, and that's getting jiggy. Like, if you spend all your night sitting on a seat, there's a good chance you were fingering or getting fingered, I would say. That's what it was. It's like, where is he? He's over in the seated area. Oh, bet he is.
I better leave him alone.
I better leave me. I'm not going over there. You're not over there chatting about, like, you know, soccer results.
Just going to have a sit down for a minute.
Yeah.
Take a breather.
Doesn't happen. Those areas were just like, they were like, what's it called? A red room at an orgy. That's exactly what they were like. No.
Is this?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I don't know much about orgies.
You've been watching Louis Theroux again, lad, have you? Maura, where was your local nightclub and what kind of a standard was it now?
There's two nightclubs. So there was one, it was the Fiddlers, now known as Vanity in Carrickmacross. And then the other one.
What a name.
Yeah. And then the other one was Club Shambles. And then it's now Luna. But I don't know why exactly they changed the name, but it probably has to do with an incident, because that nightclub became notorious for a lad got refused entry, pure tick, went home, got the tractor and the slurry spreader, drove back to the nightclub and, yeah, did a bit of nighttime slurry spreading on the outside of the nightclub.
God. The more stories, Maura, I hear from the area you live in, I'm starting to think, like, is there any cops up there at all?
I used to love the gimmicks they would do, like foam parties.
Yeah, there was a foam party in Care House when I first moved. And I remember, like, waking up the next morning and my skin just being, like, so clean. And then it eventually dawned on me that, oh my God, they're making the foam from Windoline.
No way.
Yeah, it was Windoline. Whatever, sort of like, I swear to God, I was gleaming the next morning. And I had, like, a couple of spots on my back.
Yeah.
Whatever was in the foam, like, I was just my pores were cleansed after it. And then, like, the weird thing was, you'd go to a foam party as an adult, like, and then you're going, like, fellas were trying to chat up birds, like, or whatever, you know, and they're like, do you want to come back to mine? Like, and then you get out of the foam party and you're both sopping wet, like, fucking wringing wet in Supermax trying to eat a burger, still soaked to the skin. One, I remember lads were telling me that in Care, one of the boys got laser eye surgery done. And then went to the foam party and he was like, no, my eyes, everyone's. Because fellas get carried away in foam parties and just start rubbing foam on each other's faces. Like, yeah. This poor fella was after paying a fortune for it to get his eyes done, nearly blinded.
Do you remember there was a place in Cork called Bondi?
I had never heard of this. You dug this up.
So every time you went in, they would give you one of those wreaths of flowers around your neck. Like,
yeah, Hawaii.
A Hawaii job, yeah. Like, Bondi is obviously in Australia, but, you know, we mix and match. But they would have beach party nights. So there would be an area of the dance floor, an area of the nightclub covered in sand. And they also had a paddling pool that was about 6 or 8 foot by maybe 1.5, 2 foot deep. And people would just get in and fanny about, like. And they had an inflatable crocodile. And they would have towels.
Did they think they were in Step Up or something? What kind of carry on is that?
I don't know. What do you want?
But, you know, it would intrigue me to go somewhere like that. I guess it is something different. Celeb meet and greets were the big things in nightclubs. Like, I think my mum was on the Extra Pod telling about how my father went on a stag to Nina and like Jordan was meant to make an appearance in the nightclub in Nina, which was called Club Mecca, you know, right up there with the good names of local nightclubs. And like the likes of Jordan, you had all those Jersey Shore, Home and Away. Like, imagine queuing up, locked out of your brain for a photo with like someone.
Who's your man? Remember we heard that one of the boys from Geordie Shore.
Gaz, was it?
Was it Gaz? Mm. He did a meet and greet. And someone who was working there, one of the bouncers, said that he saw him shift about 30 young ones.
You get glandular fever at that crack.
That's not a lie.
No.
He said he was basically going around the room.
Yeah. But
I don't know who was paying who. Like,
allegedly.
Allegedly, yes. That's the story anyway.
Did
Maura, do you ever shift Gaz from Geordie Shore? No.
No. The only celeb I ever went to see in a nightclub was Maria from Coronation Street.
What? Maria?
Yeah. You know you won the plays, Maria. She did one meet and greet at the Palace nightclub. And she did it along with... In Navan, yeah. I can't remember who else she did it with. I didn't know the other lad from Coronation Street because I stopped watching it a while at that stage. Yeah. Maybe it was him.
Oh, yeah. She's a fine bird. Gattier.
Yeah.
Who's Max? How did you know her name?
Listen, lad. When it comes to soaps, I'm your man.
I went to the Palace nightclub in Navan once, and I got a chair broke off me. So I left it off then after that.
I don't know about you, but like in our locality, the bouncers were all local. So like, you'd nearly feel bad if there was a scrap, like, you know, and some lad who's like working 9 to 5 has got to pick you out of a scrap, like, and then you're trying to dig him. And like, in our local nightclub, Grants, right, in Ascra, I couldn't get in until the day I was 18.
Why?
Because the bouncer was the manager on the hurling team, underage, and he knew exactly what age I was.
Okay.
And he probably had seen me on the field and thought, whoa, this lad, you know, with his head and this nightclub, that's not going to be a good combination. So I remember at like 17 walking up and him being like, I know you're not 18, like, you're not coming in. I was like, fuck, all the boys would get in then. I wouldn't be able to get in. I'd be sick and mother would have to pick me up. And then one night, the guards were at the door. And I was like, back in those days, you could get an age slip. So if you applied for your age card, the cops would send you an age slip that said, like, Johnny McMatten. Like, you know, the cops would fill in the name. Is 18, signed local guard. So my friend Shane was 18.
Yeah.
And he had got his age card, but he still had this slip.
Yes.
And he was like, try that, you'll get in. And I was like, well, if the bouncer on the door knows me age, he definitely knows me name.
So this is the slip until your card comes in the post.
Yeah. So I had this out of date slip and the cops were at the door. And I was like, do you know what? I'll just try it. And I was like, the cops are at the door. I don't know. I must have been hammered as a young lad. And I walked up and I could see the bouncer looking at it and seeing my friend Shane's name on it and looking at me. And he had two options. He either told the cops and got me done, or he let me in.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'll take my chances. And he let me in. And then like, I was inside then thinking, you know, when you think you're a hard man, when you get in, I was like walking around shaping. And then he came up and just punched me straight into the arm. And was like, don't ever try that again. You'll never get in here again. And I was like, grand. I got one one night. I went mental in there for around 2 hours. Yeah.
No, the cops didn't care. Or the bouncers didn't care. I didn't know who they are. I went up one night and I was wearing a top that said South Tipperary Under 16 School of Excellence, sponsored by Martin's Fruit and Veg. And one of the boys was with me, and the bouncer was like, I can't let you in. And I was like, why not? And he said, well, you're wearing a jacket that says you're 16. And one of the older boys, he was Grinder's brother, he was like, no, that's from a couple of years ago. And I got in anyway. And he was like, hey, this lad, look at his top. He's playing county minor for the county. Let him in, for God's sake. Your man let me in anyway.
Oh, that's brilliant. Local nightclubs, though, like, we're always trying to run events. They try and run anything out of the ordinary just to soak a few extra people into the nightclub. Like, there is costs in setting up a nightclub, I'm sure. But, like, how they thought Bass Hunter would attract a massive crowd 15 years after he'd actually had a hit is beyond me.
He's still going, lad.
But yeah, I know.
He's still doing Rag Weeks now.
Why don't I? Like, people in Rag Week now are like 18, 19, 20. Like, Bass Hunter was big when we were 18, 19, yeah. 20. I don't understand the appeal of him.
Of getting big DJs. That was the thing. There was a period when colleges had mad money and were booking big acts. I don't know if I can go and out him. You can see our own manager once booked Scooter to play in Tremor. He said there was more fireworks than people at it anyway. But nightclubs, lads, are under serious pressure.
Mm-hmm.
The rural nightclubs are gone. I'd say nightclubs in a town of less than 5,000 are nearly all gone today.
Yeah, nightclub in Ross Grey is gone. Nightclub in Care is gone.
Cashel.
Yeah, they're all almost gone. Like, it's they're disappearing, and it's kind of sad to see, because not when the nightclub goes, obviously, you know, you've nowhere to go until 2:30 in the morning. But I mean, it affects the pubs, which affects the restaurants, yeah, which affects the taxi drivers.
It had a big effect on us here in Care, because once the nightclub closed, all the hinterland, all the villages stopped coming to Care. They said, well, the only nightclub is Clonmel, we'll just go to Clonmel. So then you're no longer meeting all the village lads. It's only the town lads.
Yeah. It's true. And it kills everybody in the surrounding areas then as well. So
number of nightclubs outside Dublin in the year 2000, 422.
Jeez.
Then when the recession kicked in 2008, it was down to about half that.
Oh, I'd love to see what it's at now.
Very low.
Oh my God, yeah. It's a, Maura, is there still many local rural nightclubs around you?
Not at the minute. Yeah. I don't even know if they're open. Like, you never hear of anybody going to them. Maybe at Christmas, but just, you wouldn't be, but like, nobody needs to go to the nightclub anymore because, you know, you've Tinder and Grindr now or whatever, you know, you can, you don't need to go to the nightclub to get the shift. You just log onto your app, you know, and meet them in the pub and whatever.
The issue is insurance. Yeah. I was talking to a lad and he said to me that every nightclub in Ireland is insured by a company in England. There's no insurance company in Ireland that will insure a nightclub. And he said most nightclubs, you're looking at about €50,000 for insurance.
Wow.
And so he said the way it's going to end up is that nightclubs will only be insured by name. So basically, if you want to get your insurance down, then the excess goes up. So if there's a claim, the nightclub pay the first 10,000 and the insurance company take it on from there. But he said nightclubs, just to get insured, are going to take on nearly all the excess themselves.
Oh, that's some dose.
So you're paying €50,000 and you're pretty much only insured by names.
That's crazy. Because it is happening. I've heard of lots of cases where like someone falls in a nightclub and then they're suing the nightclub.
But the thing now is that they just have to hire like a bajillion staff and there's somebody at every door and every stairs.
Oh, those poor fellas in coppers, like when you drop a drink and then like they're like basically their sole job is like when you smash a glass off the floor. Because right, here's one of the things in coppers that we just copped on the other day when we're talking about this topic. If you've ever been there, there's no tables.
None.
There's no tables at all. So you've got nowhere to put your drink.
Except your stomach.
You either drink it or you hold it. One or the other. And then like that means everybody's dancing on the dance floor with drinks. Whereas in other nightclubs, you're not allowed to bring your drink onto the dance floor. In coppers, anything goes. And then there's basically around 40 lads around the place with mops, just mopping it up.
It's a vicious cycle because when you can't put down your drink, you end up just drinking it. And then nobody wants to be without a drink.
Yeah.
So you buy another drink. Yeah, it's genius.
Yeah, it did. On their behalf, it works. It works.
I was talking to a man who said he ran a nightclub that got a lot of students.
Okay.
The kind of 18 to 22 year olds.
Okay.
And he said the figures, average spend per person, €9 to €15.
That's low.
That is low.
And a lot of places aren't, you know, the big thing was you'd always pay an entrance fee into a nightclub. And then a lot of places stopped paying entrance fees because like they want to get you in.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to be putting you off because you can go to a pub for free.
But now, like, you're only making money off the entrance fee.
100%, yeah. Naggins, lad. I swear to God. I'd love to see a figure on, like, Naggins snuck into nightclubs. I said it's like, well, you know, since 1990, €400 billion has been lost in Ireland to Naggins.
It was a gas one.
Strapped everywhere, lad. I remember trying to walk in one of my shoes. I don't even know. It must have been a wide shoe because Naggins are tough. Like, or else you get a bird and bring it in for you, like.
Did you get it in your shoe?
Yeah. 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 It must be massive shoes, like.
And bootcut jeans.
Jesus Christ. Do you know what? Actually, sorry, just a little bit off topic. One night I was at, it would have had to have been bootcut. One night I was at a gig in the Tree Arena and there was a couple beside us and your one was like reaching down her tit, like, and I was like, what is this one at beside us? I was like, look at her. Like, look at her. Yeah. Next thing she pulled out a big pouch and I was like, what? And she was like, do you want a gin? I was like, no, thanks. And she was like, snug it in. You won't be paying €8 for it in here. Do you know those pouches like that you can keep breast milk in?
Oh, yeah.
She had that full of gin, too. Just some job. Yeah, now it's grim enough, but like, it's fair expensive for drinking the Three Arena. Like, she had snuck it in like that. Genius.
Big gin tits on her.
I swear to God, I reckon there's a market for like those exact things for students.
Yeah.
You know, it's safer than going around with glass, isn't it?
It definitely is.
Yeah. I'm going to patent that straight away.
Speaking of students, another lad in Limerick. It was actually our tour manager, James, was saying when he worked on Icon, Monday was free in. So then all the Mary I started going Monday, all the female teachers. And then all the lads in UL wanted to meet the female teachers. So Monday quickly became the busiest night of the week.
Yeah.
So then they said, well, we're going to start charging in €5 on Monday nights and we'll make Wednesday free. Within 2 or 3 months, no one was coming on Monday and everyone was coming in Wednesday. For the fiver.
I'm no expert in, you know, business in or running a nightclub. But if there's women there, there will be men.
Women free in.
That used to be the goal in the nightclub in Burr. I'm pretty sure it was like women were free in, like, and then lads were like something out of Walking Dead trying to get into the nightclub, knowing that women were in there for free. Like, that's rural Ireland for you.
Get them in?
Like, back in the day, not to be referencing Pure Mule again, but like they'd go to the nightclub and that was basically the only time of night where you'd start talking to the opposite sex.
Yeah.
Because you were jarred enough. Like, I swear to God, the nightclub in Roscrea was just, oh, it was wild looking back at it. Like, you'd have like a load of Langers people dancing on the dance floor and then you'd have all the boys from Eastern Europe who had moved in there who, for some reason, and I will never know why, if someone can tell me, it'd be great. Why did they wear all white? Is that a thing? Like, they were all wearing white. White pants and all. And this was like before white pants became half acceptable for a man to wear.
White pants, like jeans or like E17 kind of vibe or what?
I don't, looking back, it could have been actually the uniform from the factory. But I don't know, like, it was just all white and they were like, remember that song? Maya He. They looked like those guys.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The white suits on them. A load of Joe Dolans.
Can I give you some of the names?
Yeah, please.
Okay, we got sent some of the great names for nightclubs around Ireland. Pulse in Letterkenny. Scintillate in Sligo.
Wow, that is a name.
Coyotes in Galway, where they actually had young ones dancing up on the bar.
That'd be a bit of crack.
I do have to wonder about Mecca and Nina. Mecca, of course, being the home of Islam in the Middle East, where they don't drink at all.
Mecca's gone now. That's actually the Abbey Court now. I'm pretty sure they hold like FOSS courses in there now and like safe passes. But I tell you, there was a fair bit of manual handling done in that place in its time.
There was the Pink Pussycat in Tyrone.
Ah, filth.
Flamingos in Abbey Field.
I have a fear of flamingos.
Bed.
Are you coming to bed?
Before Every Dawn in Skibb. And then there was Bed in Balbriggan as well.
Wow.
There was a pub in Roscrea called The Office.
Yeah, there was, yeah.
Known as...
Nicknamed locally as The Dole Office.
There was a place in Ballinasloe in Galway called The Place. Spelled T-H-E-E, place. Another Sligo one, Lola Montez, apparently named after a prostitute. There was a Lau Trex in Greystones, which is now Club Life.
Wow. Horrendous.
Is blown. SG1 in Fermoy, named after a spaceship. And then there was Banter in Mallow.
Oh no.
Spirals in Tralee. Lads, it does not.
Yeah.
There was Utopia in Carrick and Shore. Which
I bet there was.
Nicknamed Ethiopia.
Oh.
The Bush in Enniskillen. There was a place here in Care called The Riddler. And they had on the walls, Maura, there was fucking sheets of galvanized with spray paint.
Yeah.
The Riddler. Big question mark outside the door.
It's crazy.
Come to Care, get riddled.
Yeah. Some of the names, they're just brilliant. I think, like, what we're looking for from this is, like, obviously we're sad because rural nightclubs are in decline.
They are.
Will they ever come back is the big question.
They're expensive. The license per night, I think, apparently our research says, is €410. For the late license, and you have to get permission from court judge as well.
Mm. And it can be tough to get because, like you were saying, no, look, it'll be good. You know, it'll be good for the economy. And they're like, yeah, but like the last time you had a late license, all the windows on the main street got broke. Supermax got trashed, and you're going, yeah, but I have to make a few pounds.
That was someone else.
Yeah.
That was nothing to do with us.
Different nightclub. Different nightclub.
Was the bingo.
We want to throw this one out to our listeners before we finish up. Give us your stories of nightclubs. You can relive your youth now by telling us your crazy stories from nightclub. We want to hear it all. And as you know, nothing is off limits in this podcast.
Yeah. How have they changed? Apparently, nightclub zero in Ireland was 1988 was the start of nightclubs in Ireland.
Yeah.
Are they going to continue? What's the crack? At what age do you stop going to nightclub?
Yeah, we're probably too old now.
No way, never.
Yeah, well, like, you know.
Never.
You've got no sense of
what's appropriate and what's not.
Yeah.
Maura, quick one. So, at what age do you stop going to nightclubs?
I would think 25.
Jesus.
Yeah, maybe. But maybe
you
that's
come to nightclubs with us.
Again,
I know.
The Coppers isn't a nightclub, yeah. Lad.
Yeah.
I'm sticking to that. That's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, it's just, like, you don't want to be going in there. I always found it weird is, like, when you be going in, like, in your mid-20s and suddenly you be seeing girls that were in first year when you were in sixth year, you be like, oh, I feel so old, you know? So, yeah.
Fuck 'em.
I don't know. You don't want to be, like, getting hit on lads. Like, you know, a 25-year-old woman being hit on by an 18-year-old lad who's just, like, sweating links and WKD. It's not attractive.
You say that like it's a bad thing, Maura. Yeah. Right, listeners, give us your correspondence. We want to know it all, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Carmel is always at his plums. She makes a great jam with him. It's time for Noel Furlong, and it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News! It's Noel's News!
Well, Noel, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Thank you. I was waiting for something there.
Your presenting skills are coming along.
Thank you, thank you, yeah.
I was telling you, I only watched you last week with one eye.
Yeah.
I got stung by a wasp.
Yeah, how is it?
Well, I watched it back afterwards with the other eye.
How was it? It's
kind of the same. you'd want to change it up.
Have you any advice?
Well, no, I watched this week as well.
Well.
Oh, geez, I was embarrassed to be.
Why?
Going round in short pants.
It's roasting.
I never wore short pants in my life.
Why?
Bar a match. Dermot plain refused. Hurled every match he ever played in a pair of slacks. Like a man.
Slacks.
Yeah, fact. Like a man. He had a few fine women on my G.
Yeah, we did. We did this week, yeah, in fairness.
That blonde even put a horn in the heifer.
That's a very talented woman, yeah.
The Pope would hang up his robes, I'd say. Leave me alone.
Leave me alone.
He went to America.
Yes.
What are we eating?
Oh, American food, burgers and Cuban sandwiches. And
sweets.
Sweets, no, not so much sweets.
I heard the Americans are big into sweets.
Are they?
Well, do you know who's big into sweets?
Who?
The French.
Right.
They have a national holiday. Fruit Pastille Day. It's a fact. They go around sucking old gummies.
Gummies. Is that what they are, yeah?
Gummy bells. Yeah. Fact.
Ah, oh, brilliant. Brilliant.
Do you want a bit of news?
Fruit Pastille Day. Yes,
yeah,
please.
Pastille Day. A bit of news. A man has been shot by a bow and arrow.
Wow.
Well, Athlone is a wild place. Well, no, that Roscommon Westmeath tribal thing has gone on years. Longford, they're just waiting for them to tire each other out.
They're going to swoop.
Longford are going to swoop. Do you ever wonder why Longford is so quiet?
Hi.
Crouching tiger, hidden Longford. They have nuclear weapons in Edwardstown. Yeah, Dan saw them.
Did he?
Yeah, he was on tour back in the 80s. Remember, Dan had a big song about soup.
Dan Bryan?
Yeah, do you remember?
What
big one
it?
About soup, no? Looking for a hot cup, baby, this evening. A hot cup, baby, tonight. Remember that one? Yeah. Baby, this evening. He had a follow-up single. Didn't go as well. It was about Bus Aaron. It's called With or Without You. We're fucking leaving. This poor man. With or Without You, yeah.
Brilliant.
And this poor man, Riali Franciscato, may he rest in peace. He was killed by an arrow through the chest in the Amazon jungle. He was the top expert on isolated tribes in Brazil. And he was keeping an eye on this tribe. And he said, not only be sound enough, peaceful, but this was a war party. Five men, they have no tops on, faces painted in black ink. It sounds like the Debs in Mallow. But they killed him. Honest to God, right? So the farmers who want to farm the land. And these lads are living in the jungle. And they're going, whoa, calm it down. Like, they must know what to make of old tractors, bulldozers, and I don't know what they made of Paddy Fong. Right. when he arrived on the Astra.
Oh, yeah.
He was telling you, He was telling me he drove to the Amazon.
Yeah.
Would you believe him?
Not all the time.
Well, I wouldn't, only for John Paul went with him.
Did he?
Yeah, I met him. I was coming in the gate there, we're going out, and I said, where are you going? We're going to the Amazon. I thought he said, we're going playing Swan. In the hurling team. And then he came back, 2 months later with a tan and tribal tattoos. And I just thought, well, that's Carrick. So this poor man, who had been fighting to keep the jungle, and you know, that they live in, and he was killed by the very people he was trying to help. So it's very sad, and we should all try and make the world a better place.
I
too am doing my bit. I have joined the war on coronavirus. I couldn't find the virus, but I found a man with the virus, and I bet the fuck out of him. Because we all have to do our bit.
I don't think that's how it works.
You are not doing your bit. Local news. I went in to give the juvenile team a coaching session.
God.
And no one asked me, but it had to be done. Right? I went in. There was one boy, 8 years of age. He ran up and he kicked another young lad in the shin. I made him captain straight away. I said to him, young lad, I don't know who was coaching you at under six, but they done a hell of a job. He had great potential. By under 16, he'd be chalk stamping fellas. Young lads would be out there. Like, John Paul had a wicked rivalry with this lad from Rovers, right? You know, they'd be marking each other all day up along, under 12, under 14. Under 16, South Final. We kidnapped his father. We locked him in a slatted shed for a week until the game was over. And John Paul wanted to chop off his fingers and send him to the young lad. I didn't have time now. I said, look, play your own game. JP, do you mind him? And then he kept telling your man out in the field, I have your father locked up in the shed. I'm going to feed him to a badger. Right? Now, it's only a bit of crack, it's only a bit of banter, you know. But you'd have to say, it did put the young lad off his game a small bit. He missed a free near the end. Now, and I tell you, he'd normally be spot on with the freeze. But we lost anyway. But I think we can hold our head high saying, well, we did all we could.
Did your own little bit.
We were beaten by a better team. So I went to the Shamrock and the lads had the minerals and the sandwiches and we had a few pints. And it rolled into us a few days on the gat. But Carmel didn't Carmel. Find your man tied up in the shed.
Oh God.
Well, she ate me. She fucking ate me. Your man was like an antichrist.
Was he?
8 days of no food. Jeez, he was sour enough. Fuck it, he was sour enough over it. I said, would you grow up if we can't take a joke? And they said, let the young guys play the game. Didn't for us to be getting involved, you know. Said, you won fair and square. No need to be, you know, an unsportsmanlike about. No need to be a bad winner. The local sergeant at the time now was involved in the club. So he took your man's statement anyway and we have it up over the mantelpiece at home.
Very proud.
That's great, Craig. We reenact it. John Paul can do your man's voice.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he? He listened to him scream all week. He was a tough child.
Yeah.
He was a tough child. He wanted to join the Scouts when he was 9. And they wouldn't accept him.
Why?
I don't know. We'd have a bad old name, I suppose. But he used to just follow them around. They'd go camping. He'd go as well. He said tents were for wankers. He slept outside. Completely naked. You know what a crack young lads be at now, like, you know? He'd catch an old rat and he'd throw it into the tent, zip it up, like, you know?
Oh. Good crack.
Oh, a few lads got bit now, you know? They had to get the old... I had to get the jab off the doctor, but that was the old crack with young lads, you know?
Harmless us.
Harmless us. Scutting. Keflin, you know?
Scut.
But I think this under 10 team are a good bunch. I think they could go far.
Very good.
We're playing the seniors Friday night in a challenge. We're playing the seniors Friday night in a challenge, you know? Oh, fuck, we'll sort into them. We'll give them enough, mate.
There'll be some shins kicked.
Well, I tell you, they have a couple of big lads, but a if anyone's father goes missing during the week,
you know who to call.
Looking for a hot cup baby this evening. A hot cup baby tonight.
Can we get Dan Bryan in to play a song some night?
Oh my God, I'll put in a request.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be very good.
Dan, what if you pound her?
Yeah, we can, a small budget.
Have you budget?
For Dan, we have.
Oh, but not for fucking Noel.
Listen.
You're badly exposed there now.
But yeah, we'll talk
Jesus,
about that.
I'd say Pat Kinney would have you for breakfast, Dad. Don't ever go on that show. He ate you. Come on, leave it off.
Warning, the content in the next segment is of an adult nature. If you have the mother or possibly the parish priest in the car with you, now would be a good time to pause the podcast. Maura, what is your mystery topic this week? It's a very good warning.
Okay, so I have a question for you, right? And I'm going to give some context to it, right? Do you have any idea how much women spend on like personal grooming? So I'm talking about hair, makeup and beauty treatments. Because I've been watching your TV show and no harm to you. You don't seem to have had the biggest makeup or clothes or wardrobe budget for your TV program. It's all to Johnny's merchandise and GA jersey.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just to compare that. So Smacks, I know you've watched Selling Sunset on mm-hmm. Netflix. Christine Quinn, you know the blondie bitchy one in that?
Yeah.
She told Vogue that she spends $1,000 a day on her glam. So she gets...
A day?
A day, yeah. So that includes wardrobe. So she'd be wearing kind of like designer stuff and also she'd be getting her hair done. So it takes about her, she said that it takes her glam about kind of 2 hours, between 2 and 3 hours to do per day of filming. So
that's some money.
It is, yeah. But would you have any idea what women would spend on hair and makeup and beauty treatments?
A day?
No, in general, in general.
Gosh, getting your hair done could be 100 euro.
Yeah. Yeah, it depends what they're getting. You know, if they have the fancy hairdo now or up styles, down styles, you don't know.
Even though they're cutting colour now.
I do know that getting gel nails is around 35 euro.
I paid 45.
Okay.
Well, Mara.
It's inflated up the country, Mara.
But do you think men actually notice these things?
Nails,
no. Yeah. Well, normal men probably wouldn't. I'd cop it, all right.
Nails.
Okay. Listen, I'm the type of man that when I get a haircut and come back into the house, if Annie hasn't said within 2 minutes your hair is nice, I'm like, did you not notice I got my haircut? So, yeah, this would be right up my alley. I would say, on average a week, I'd say you're looking at around 60, 70 quid a week. It would probably average itself out at.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
How much do you think a set of eyelash extensions are?
The permanent or temporary ones, kind of?
The permanent, not the sticky on ones. The ones that you go into the hair.
Get them done.
They're actually, I got them done recently and to me they were the biggest waste of money because they only last about 2 weeks and you ones like, so if you're having a shower, don't face underneath the water, just turn your back to the shower. It's like, how am I supposed to wash my face then? Yeah. So go on, give us a guess there.
For eyelashes, I'd say around 45 quid.
Yeah.
Oh, 55 euro is what I spent. And, geez, you know, cried coming out of thinking
you've got to get new beauty. You know, this is all lower down the country.
Yeah. Now, I know we've talked about brows before. HD brows. How much do you think they cost?
Jesus. Are they like tattooing brows now or microblading or what are they?
Jeez, no, microblading is a different thing. HD is where they put a lot of time into shaping the brows, maybe waxing and a bit of threading and plucking and maybe trimming the brows a little and then dyeing it and maybe putting a bit of a, I think they maybe possibly put a bit of perm into it as well to kind of set the brows growing a hair a different
I'd
way.
I'd say you're up around 65 quid.
No, HD brows are only 30 euro, but the other thing that you referred to there is microneedling. Yeah, microneedling is 250 euro. So that's
Jesus.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, and a Brazilian wax. Any idea?
That's cheap enough. I'd say around 25 quid for that.
Getting the plucked turkey done.
Yeah.
Oh, it's 38 euro. And these are like country prices. This is not Dublin prices. Okay. So,
get the laser all together.
Spray tan, lads.
That's around 25 quid.
Johnny B, you're very quiet.
I've no idea. It's been so long since I got one.
Yeah, you'd be paying that. You'd be paying between €12 and €30. But it all depends on the brand of spray tan you go for. So like something like Vita Liberata, you'd be paying about €30. But something basic like
that, yeah.
Bronze Leaf, that's €12. So I'm wondering, do you think women are mad to be spending this money on it? Or do you think men actually appreciate all this grooming and hairdos and clothes that they spend, you know, all this cash going out to look good?
Do you want us to give it an honest answer? Do you want us to beat you around the butt? No, look.
Sure,
no,
look, women aren't doing it just for men either now.
Yeah.
Doing it for themselves too, are they?
Yeah. Mm. I wouldn't have a problem with it. I think like
nobody's getting a Brazilian wax for themselves. Jesus Christ, that's not.
Ah, jeez, yeah. I hate pubes. I don't know. Even on myself now. I'd be manscaping down there the whole. I just don't like rotten old yolks. Pubes are rotten.
Okay, I think nails, I don't think lads care that much, would they? Be nice now, maybe, during sex, would it? You're looking at me here like I'm reaching for a reason why someone would get their nails.
Yeah, up. We're off camera. I'm just having a laugh with you. You know what I mean? I'm not trying. I'm going to fucking say what I'm really thinking here. Like,
we were talking to somebody who said they got their nails done every whatever it is, month or 6 weeks for about 8 years, and yeah, it's about the price of a hot tub. Yeah. So, to me, there's a clear winner in that one.
Yeah. I think lockdown is a great thing for women because they were spending all this money, and I think like I can only speak for the woman at home in my house, and she now can do gel nails. She's learnt it over lockdown.
Cool.
So you know, saving me that £45.
Can you not?
I'm only messing with her money.
Can you not pluck your own eyebrows?
Oh, you probably could, but you wouldn't get that HD finish, lad. You know, yeah. The women now love the old brows, big slugs.
Yeah, but you're touching them up with the ink anyway.
The ink.
Whatever.
It's not, you're not there with a fucking Bic biro, lad.
Sure, someone's may as well be. Do you know what I mean? Like, so
a Sharpie.
It's not just the plucking that finishes the shape. Well, you pluck it and then you're going over it with mascara. What is it? No.
Eyebrow tint. Yeah. Yes. You can buy your own tint product. You get the coloured gel and then you can get the peroxide thing. Like, maybe, see, the fear of doing it yourself is that you could end up too dark. You could end up with really like two caterpillars above your eyes. I remember in first year in secondary school, this girl with red hair did her own eyebrows. Ooh. And ended up with black eyebrows. And oh my God, like the poor girl, she just, it's pretty horrendous. You know, it's like literally black permanent marker and her bright red hair to match.
I would say men appreciate it when their lady makes an effort. I think I honestly think they do. And I think if you don't, you'll be told about it. You know what I mean? If they come in with the hair done, you better be almost waiting at the door going, hair's lovely, hair's lovely. Yeah. Straight away, put them. Because if you leave it, then they're like, you don't like it. I know you don't like it. It's like, listen, love, to be honest, I didn't know us.
My male friends, fake tan, they've really divided opinions about it. One friend absolutely loves it. Not because of the way it looks, but he thinks that when a girl has fake tan on, that means she's more up for sex. And then other lads hate it because they don't like the smell and also it ruins their bed sheets. So
fake tan over the years has softened as regards smell. I remember like it used to smell like digestive biscuits.
Yeah,
it's not as strong now, I don't think.
I think fake tan is a happy smell. If your room smells like fake tan on a Sunday, isn't that a good thing?
Unless I've been there the night before.
Slumber party. Okay, so for me, obviously, I wouldn't, you know, the nails possibly waste the money. The brows, can you do them yourselves? Okay, more if you think it's really worth the money. The stick-on eyelashes, but you can get ones that you just stick on if you're going out kind of a job.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I would say they're much better. You can get like a pack of stick-on lashes, individual lashes and pennies for like, I think they're €1.50 and they're way easier to use than the actual ones that you spend €55 on in the beauticians.
Maura, let me just turn this on you for a second before we finish. Yeah. What do you think we can improve about our image?
Yeah, I think you go very casual a lot of the time. I'd maybe have you in shirts and slacks a little bit more. Like, remember the first time I met you? was it the second time I met you? I was bringing you into RTE for something and I told you to wear dress sharp and I thought you looked so well. And then every time since that has been a GA jersey, so.
That's me you're talking about now. Yeah.
It's gonna. I miss that sharp dressed man look, you know. So
okay, Maura, we'll I'll tell you what. See, this is good to know. We'll up our game now. We're going to be going around like country gents wearing tweed all the time.
Do you want to wear suits next week?
Yeah, the next time we meet Maura, I'm wearing a full fucking three-piece suit.
And just to clarify, yeah, our filming in America, there was no makeup.
Yeah, there was no makeup.
Zero.
Yeah.
And clothes was a pain in the ring because they kept saying to us, like, on Wednesday, guys, we're shooting something and we're going to have to make it look like we're shooting it on Monday. So put on just a kind of plain-looking T-shirt.
Yeah.
I was like, I want to wear ridiculous stuff.
Yeah, I had 18 t-shirts in the bag and they were all just bland colours. I had around 8 black t-shirts.
Yeah.
Swear to God.
That explains that, Mara. Yeah. I hope.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mara. Enjoyed that one. Don't forget to rate, review and tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast and use the hashtag Two Johnnies Pod to get in touch. You can also email us podcast at thetwojohnnies.ie. Follow us on Instagram at thetwojohnnies. You can just constantly, look, you can get in touch with us everywhere. You know what I mean? We're all over the place. And watch our TV show on Thursday nights too. Now, finally, it's Yurt and Dirt time. Don't forget, Yurt and Dirt is brought to you by the good people at 48. They are changing up mobile and they have just launched a limited time offer for new customers.
Brand new offer.
For just €7.99, you can get 100 gigs of data, all calls and all texts. Why? Sure, why not? You can check out how you can get this incredible offer and also do more with your data. Donate it, swap it and share it. Try it for yourself. Get your free gigabyte now on 48.ie. Right, Johnny B, what have you got?
My dirt of the week. I meant to bring this up ages ago. Ooh. They've changed the theme tune on Home and Away.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah.
Dirt.
It's real funky now.
It's dirt. Bring back the old one.
Yeah, it doesn't have its grit.
No, it's just I know this is a burning issue with a lot of our listeners. Surely.
Yeah, sure. Can we make contact with Channel 7 and say, listen,
we'll do it.
What the fuck are you at over there in Australia? I'm going to share that dirt with you because we were sitting together watching Home and Away and then it came on and you were like, lad, what are they doing? And he was genuinely upset about it. I've also emailed the crowd that I bought that can opener and that's my dirt of the week. I'm just saying it doesn't work. No reply. It was definitely a scam. I haven't put that up on social media. I will do that this week. But I'm chasing my... I spent good money on that. My yurt of the week is, of course, Sam Bennett flying it in the Tour de France.
Yeah.
From Carrick. What is it with cyclists in Carrick, lad?
They have a cycling club.
Is that what it is?
That's what it is.
They're just constantly cycling away from people. You know, they're just throwing eggs down there, cycling away from the cops.
I was talking to a lad I know from Carrick and I said, did you ever mark Sam Bennett at hurling? And he just said, nah, boy. He was always just cycling around the town. Some achievement wanted, boy.
So fair play to Sam Bennett from Carrick, I'm sure. Great achievement. And Ireland is very, very proud of you.
And I'm just going to be soppy and say thanks to everybody for watching our show.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That's such a relief, isn't it? Like, when honestly, you don't realise we wait on a Friday morning for the ratings to come in. And they've been really good. And like, it's really good for us. But like, we're so happy that you watch it. Thanks very much.
That's it.
We appreciate it. And just keep it up. Thanks very much.
And make sure, if this is your first episode, go back to the start.
Yeah, go back and listen from the start. People are listening backwards. I don't know what kind of sorcery that is. But just go back to the start because Noel's news, the correspondence, the running gags that are in this podcast will just make more sense. So go back to the start.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody.
From me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B.
From me, Maura.
We'll see you next week. Same time, same channel. See you on the telly, right? Go on.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Good luck.